Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
On this week's episode, we are going back in time to Tony Hawk Pro Skater. And we're also visiting Kepler 80-something, getting raised by wolves. That intro music wasn't long enough for me to riff something to say over it.
I think you started three quarters of the way through the music.
Yeah,
it was already fading out, and you're like, and this time,
and now we're talking about this stuff. Hey everybody, I'm Travis.
Hey everybody, I'm Brandon, and welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show where most of the interesting content comes either before or after we record.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. If you're only catching the actual show, you're missing out on half the fun. Make sure that you're tuning in live Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time, over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. And for as long as they'll let us, over at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Could be changing very soon. Stay tuned for the live stream changes on YouTube. The way to make sure you definitely don't miss is by following over on Twitch. We've been hanging out for a little bit. There was a sudden fantasy football crisis that took place.
And then we
discussed the wealth gap in high schools in America. and now we're here. We're making a podcast. If you want to catch where we are all over the internet, you can follow us on Twitter at Apathusiast. I'm at Juggalmino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Email us your topics, your thoughts, your questions over at apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Follow our photos at apathetic_enthusiasm on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then finally, this podcast and every other podcast we make, along with whatever other content we decide to post, is available at apatheticenthusiasm.com. That's the website.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for hanging out tonight.
Yeah.
We're happy to have you. And thanks to the patrons at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. That's right. That's the URL, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can catch bonus content, help support the show directly with your financial funds, and catch all of Brandon's Patreon exclusive podcast.
Exclusives. Ooh. You know, I want to talk about one of the exclusives that we do. I eat various beef and meat sticks, and then I write a little review for them. And it's funny. I'm teleworking these two weeks, Travis, and periodically I'm like, I am hungry. I am snacky. And I keep going into our pantry, and there's nothing that is interesting or tasty looking to me. And then I come back in the office unsatisfied. Ah, man, I'm not happy about this.
He will never be satisfied.
But I look at this box of meat snacks that sits to my right, and I'm like, can't dig into that. That's what you want, but you can't dig into that, because if you dig into it, you got to start writing. And you can't do that because you're at work right now. And so I have these delectable looking beef and pork and chicken snacks. They look great, but I don't eat them because I'm like, I'm too lazy to write.
I'd have to write a blog post about this, and that's just going to take too much time. I guess I'll chew on this old shoe again.
Here's my glasses rag.
I have a bag of Dakota style jumbo sunflower seeds, the jalapeno flavor. I did not purchase these.
that's not even like the store brand.
I don't know what. I've never heard of this brand. Sheena just came home with them. She's like, here, you like stuff like this. And I ate a couple and I was like, oh, these certainly are not David brand, not a sponsor.
So for the listener who's on a pod, who's on their podcast app of choice right now, here, let me just describe this bag of jalapeno sunflower seeds. It is a generic looking red plastic bag. It looks like someone took another plastic bag, like of a different type of brand, and like somehow just erased it and then put shitty jalapeno writing on the front of it.
Yeah, that typeface selection is a little, I don't know.
But I'm sure that, I mean, they're probably delicious.
No, they're real bad. The seasoning's fine. It's the sunflower seeds themselves that have I don't know if they're roasting or whatever is a little too harsh, but they kind of taste like dirt.
Ah, man, that's
and I've almost finished 2/3 of the bag.
It's
because as I sit here playing video games, I'm just like,
sometimes if you roast them seeds too long, then they get that little burning feeling. They taste like dirt, and that's not good. Not like David's brand. Now they get the roasting right.
If you're interested in the perfectly roasted sunflower seed, then make sure you choose. Yeah, I don't know. What other brands are there?
Kellogg's?
Kellogg's, yeah. Kellogg's brand sunflower seed. All right, we have actual topics to discuss tonight, guys. who knows if we'll actually get to them. Do you want to start with the game or the show?
Let's talk about the show first.
Okay.
Okay. And that show that we're talking about, this is a show that you wanted me to watch, and you were excited when you saw the trailer and you said, oh, have you seen the trailer? You should watch the trailer. Oh, watch the trailer. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You said it to me like at least two times.
That is a direct quote. That's exactly what I said.
And I said, yeah, I'll watch it. And I never did. And
what a jerk.
Full disclosure, I never did. I just knew that it was directed by Ridley Scott. It's a Ridley Scott show, and it had something to do with androids, which he's big on in lots of his stuff, you know. And we're talking about Raised by Wolves. It's on HBO Max. Travis, why don't you get us started in talking about this show?
So. Yeah, as you said, Ridley Scott series. Essentially, the premise is there was a war on Earth. Two conflicting sides that one seems to be very focused on some form of religion. They worship a deity called Sol. And then the other side of the war are the atheists who are against this religion. We find out rather quickly that there was what they call an arc where all of this religious faction is attempting to leave Earth on a giant spaceship. And then you have these androids that were used in the war. Now there are a couple of them repurposed to try and raise a small, like I think it's six kids that they try to raise them on this new planet to build a new civilization. We kind of figure all this out by watching two of these androids originally land on a planet and start to settle there. One of them is responsible. They call each other mother and father, and the mother is actually hooked up to all this equipment to actually raise these embryos into mature like kids, babies that they're born. They're like pulled out of these little sacks. And then we see after probably like the first couple episodes that this arc is actually within range on the planet, and hilarity ensues as the mother tries to, we find out the mother is like a killing machine, and yeah, I at the risk of spoiling it further than that, yeah, there's basically a struggle between the two sides to try and start a new civilization.
There's a war
with their own beliefs, right?
There's a war. There's a war of worlds.
War never changes.
War of words. I will. I guess we'll get into thoughts about the actual show here in a second. But yeah, that's essentially that. That's how that first episode ends. Is you find out that she is a killing machine, and that they're not alone on Kepler 22. The other faction, the Mithraic, the religious faction, who they worship a god named Sol, Sun. they are in that same area, and then they start interacting and doing their things. I watched the first episode last night because for some reason this last weekend I was just horrendously exhausted. I don't know why I was so tired this weekend. But yesterday we had dinner, and then I laid down on the couch. I put on Mr. Deeds, and then I perfect falling asleep to movie. I didn't get past the credits. No shit. I fell asleep before the opening credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I woke up at like 9:30, 10. Like, well, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to sleep yet. It's still too early. And so I'm like, you wanted to talk about this today. And I'm like, okay, I'll watch the first episode. It was okay. I wanted to give the second episode a shot to see if I liked the show more. And the second episode I thought was much more interesting. It got more interesting. Because what I'll say about the pilot, the pilot episode, the first episode, is that it's very slow burn, and it doesn't explain a whole lot, and some of the mother and father, the two android characters, are like, when you first see them, it's kind of their outfit is cheesy, and I was like, what the hell am I watching? Their suits are plastic basically, and they had like a weird plastic helmet.
I totally forgot about those helmets. Yeah, those helmets were real weird looking at the beginning.
But by the end of it, I was like, okay, that was all right. I want to give it another chance. How did you feel about the first episode? And you watched multiple, I think.
So there's four episodes out currently. The release strategy, they released the first three episodes on the premiere about a week and a half ago. And then new episodes are coming out on Thursdays. So the fourth episode came out this past Thursday. Because of that slow burn in the pilot, in that first episode, I think that was part of the strategy for releasing the first three as a set, is there's not a lot of information in the first one. It is very slow. The actual first episode is directed by Ridley Scott, so he definitely takes his time and lets the environment and sort of the mystery surrounding what's going on with these two androids, who they are, what their past is, why they're there. He's not giving you anything super fast. He's giving you time to figure it out. And after the first couple, I was like, okay, I get a lot more about what's happening. There's references in the first episode where they're talking about, you know, other like the arc or other things that are happening, and you haven't really been introduced to those things, so you just kind of have to assume, like, all right, I'm gonna figure out what this is about. And it all sort of comes together by the third and fourth episode. You start to get a real sense of like what the plot is, what we're dealing with, yeah. Sort of what the values are for either side, and as well as really starting to grow attached to specific characters and their own motivations and things like that. And so I'm at the point now, four episodes in, where I'm excited to see what's going to happen and see. I don't know where the show takes the storyline and how it develops some of the other characters. But it's still pretty early. I don't know how many total episodes are in the first season. It looks like this says there's eight. There's eight expected episodes. So yeah. Marty halfway through.
You gotta slow down, Travis. One a week at the most.
Well, I have to wait for them to come out now, so I'm not in a rush. Yeah.
Let me ask you about the themes going into it, right? Obviously, raised by wolves, these two androids raising kids, and then you find out in the second episode anyway about another kind of. Set of parents raised, you know, that kind of fits with that theme of raised by wolves. What do you think about that? Like, what do you think about that piece about androids and, you know, raising kids? Yeah. You have any thoughts on that? Tell me, give me some thoughts.
I got thoughts.
That's on next week's episode.
I think the show brings up some really challenging ideas. I think obviously, and it's very much on the nose, this premise of the idea of religion versus atheism, sort of science versus religion. There is an example with the androids, really, of the far extreme to completely removing not even just religion, but almost like human, like emotion and empathy from the equation of parenthood, because you have androids that are programmed to raise children, and you find out that that's not even their original intent. They're reprogrammed to raise children. They lack certain abilities and sort of the things that seem like natural responses when raising kids, and they still exhibit certain traits and they aren't completely like lifeless androids. They definitely seem to have their own motivations and you know, desires, and they have complex feelings of jealousy and things like that that are really interesting. But at the same time, they're very matter of fact about, okay, but we're going to use lessons and fables that she tells the Three Little Pigs story in one of the episodes as an example of them being threatened in their camp. And so they're using these, you know, parables or things like that, but all at the same time, really enforcing the not being allowed to have any religious practices. And then you mirror that with the Mithraic people, whose entire life is focused around religion. Everything they do is based on their religion for Saul. All of their symbols have like suns on them, so they're sun worshipers, but soul, they're not worshiping the sun. It's like some sort of deity that is related to the sun. And so everything from their like building this ark, their practices through prayer and all these other things, very much focused on religion. But, and so there's that argument, like, are they focused on like the tangible things that are happening around them, or are they using their religious structure to hide certain things. And very quickly you discover that there are very corrupt individuals in this organization who are preaching one thing but behaving very differently. And so there's interesting conversations with all of that. And I don't know, I think it's neat. And when you discover a twist about certain members of that party, now you start to see like how those belief structures overlap. And when you get, you know, religious people in with the atheists or atheists in with the religious folks, like how their backgrounds challenge the systems that they're in, but also how they influence others. It's I don't know, it's really interesting. And that's only four episodes in. I'm sure they're going to continue to push that further as they go through with the rest of the episodes.
Yeah, yeah, very, very, very good overview on that. Yeah, I again, I've only seen two episodes, but I'm with you on that piece of it being an interesting conversation. The religious versus atheism aspect is extremely on the nose, almost a little, maybe not cringe, but okay, all right, come on.
It's extremely overt. Like, yeah. there's a lack of subtlety to it at times, but there's also nuance in how the interpersonal sort of relationships develop through those structures.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I don't doesn't interest me, but I'm having a hard time reconciling is it's a sci-fi show. It's a show that's based in the future, and there's spaceships and there's androids and they're raising kids and artificial insemination androids with babies and stuff like that. And yet the show feels very low tech. It's high tech future, but it's also very they're living on a planet with not very much technology. And yet there's like, there are certain aspects of the show that are still like super high technology, like Metropolis looking android type thing, floating around, you know, that type of stuff, which it's a weird mix of the two worlds. Like even like the Mithraic, right? They look like the Knights Templar, like you'd see, in the Middle Ages, right? For like the Crusades. It's a weird mishmash of those genres in a way.
Everything comes full circle, Brandon, you know, like, which you talk about the clothing styles and things like that. There's a traditional, clothing that the Mithraic, wear. I'm guessing that's because of whatever their beliefs are, they've chosen to wear certain clothes. They don't have really unique clothing. Everybody seems to be in some form of uniform. But the way Ridley Scott has really tried to blend a rustic or like natural environment with all of these injections of advanced technology, I don't know. It is interesting. I feel like it works for me. I don't feel like there have been times when it's been too jarring. But I also assume they showed up with limited resources and crashed their plane or their rocket, whatever they're in, right when they got there. Yeah. So whatever they brought with them, they were also limited by what they were able to, you know, take with them. So I don't know. I think there's a cool mix to it, and it works for me. I don't really have a problem with it. Yeah. I like the sort of contrast in styles.
And contrast in styles is really what is how I feel about it. I mean, overall, I plan to watch more episodes and finish it up just to see it where it goes. But I'm not thrilled by it. It doesn't.
Yeah.
When I stop watching it, I'm not like, I gotta figure out what's going on with Raised by Wolves. But there's a guy who I work with named Bryant, and I'll probably tell him about it next time I see him in person, 6 feet away with masks. I say, hey, HBO Max, Raised by Wolves. Yeah, have you seen that? And he'd be like, yeah, man, of course I have. Where have you been? I'm like, ah, shit.
Of course I have.
I was on cell work.
Yeah, I will say, if you're only an episode or two into it, it is a slow burn.
Very much so.
And it's not the type of show like a Lost or things like that where the mysteries are so high that you're like eager to get to that next episode because you got to figure out what the smoke monster is or what's inside the hatch, right? There's some mystery to it, but those aren't the driving elements of the show. So the show takes its time, and really, it wasn't until even this fourth episode where I was like, "Did I make a mistake with this show?" Like, but I am. I continue to be interested by it. I'm very curious what directions they will take with some of these characters moving forward. And there are some mysteries that still linger, and they're not necessarily mysteries to the viewer. Like, you know about stuff that's going on, but I'm curious to see how those situations will play out for the characters themselves.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the mysteries aspect of it. I'm really trying to figure out and put into words how I feel about the mysteries piece of it, because as you said, it's not a Lost style thing. It's not even a Prometheus, another Ridley Scott thing where Damon Lindelof created all these mystery boxes, and then they're like, what the hell? Why is this Prometheus? The mysteries are like, oddly, I'll say shallow. That's the only one I can think of it really right now. But maybe I'll use a comparison: The Wire, which is one of the best, if not the best show that has ever graced television. And don't at me or at me. That's fine.
Yeah, Adam.
Yeah, just
Adam.
Fine.
Hot takes on Apathetic Enthusiasts.
But The Wire was a show where the first couple episodes of that show, you're introduced to all these characters and you don't know who any of these characters are really, and they're talking about other characters, and the plot is moving forward, and it's more novel where there's already stuff going on and they already have a history with each other, and eventually, you know, it starts panning out and then it starts exploring everything a little bit more. Whereas like Chelsea never wanted to watch The Wire, and I made her watch an episode. She's like, I don't know what they're talking about in the first episode. I don't know what they're talking about. Who are they? They were in trial. Who are they in trial for? Like, oh, you'll find that out later. It's that kind of mystery where they talk about things as if you already know what they're talking about. And in The Wire, where it's grounded in reality, because Simon, the creator, like, he took stories from his life, and then it's all about Baltimore, right? They're all true stories in some way, shape, or form. But when you're talking about aliens and you're talking about far out worlds and androids and stuff like that,
and future religions and killer robots, and yeah,
it's a little bit harder to be like, okay, well, you need to explain this. Don't just say Mithraic and blah blah blah, or don't look at her. That doesn't get explained until later.
Does the scene where she goes and gets the second set of kids, is that in the second episode?
No, that's in the first episode.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's how they end the first episode. It's with her going up to the ship and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty intense.
Pretty badass. Yeah. But her turning into a badass, which, spoiler, she turns into a badass, an evil, like crazy badass that it there's a janky kind of split where all of a sudden she's a badass now, and I was like, wait, what? Oh, what's happening? There was it went a little too fast for my 38-year-old brain. Okay, what she's armored? I don't get it.
Yeah. I fully get you. I get you. Overall, I would give this a tentative recommendation. Not seeing how the show is going to end. I can't say for sure that this is going to end up being great. So far, I'm invested. And I reserve the option of rating this show until I see how the last four episodes pan out. But I think it'll be good. If you have HBO Max, check it out. I'm so confused now because when I watch HBO Max, I see all these things that are HBO Max exclusives. Does that mean people that just have regular old HBO like to see it?
They do not get them. They do not get them.
They can't watch Selena Gomez cook with random chefs in her kitchen?
I'm sorry. It's basically like our $10 Patreon.
Okay.
I don't get that. Whoa! Loss.
We provide this. I will let you know. Every episode of Selena plus Chef has been viewed at least once in my household.
Really?
If not multiple times. Yeah. I don't know. There's one episode where she cooks with a food truck guy from California, and he makes Calbee beef breakfast tacos.
Oh,
we're making those at my house.
I made some Calbee beef ribs this last weekend. I ate so much.
And that's why you were tired all weekend.
Oh, no, actually, yeah, that's why I was miserable on Sunday. You're absolutely right. It was Saturday. You're right. No, it was Saturday, and that screwed up the rest of my weekend because yesterday we had fried shrimp tacos, and we're on this like weird diet kick, with the exception of the beef,
where you only eat delicious food.
Yeah, all the meals have been pretty good, and I've spread my meal legs. Anyways, Raised by Wolves, go check it out. Let us know what you think. It's good. I think it could be better, but I will watch the rest of the series.
I think the production value is very high on the show. The story is decent. But we're still at risk of this going in a really weird direction. Yeah, it could take a turn for the worse at any time.
Yeah, let's get first impressions out there. We've done first impressions and we've said, oh, this show's really, really good. And then it turns out, we could have lasted a little bit longer. Muppets Now.
We're looking at you, Muppets Now.
we're looking at you, Muppets Now. Yeah, I found out. I read that it was all recorded in one day, and I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but the last episode of Muppets Now, they had left in the company that does effects for video. They left the watermark on a couple different scenes of the lifestyle, and people are like, "Is it? If this is a joke, it doesn't make sense." And sure enough, I watched it a week later, and there's parts during that lifestyle sketch where Deadly will be talking. All of a sudden, there'll be like a real quick cut, and then he'll be in like a different position talking.
Oh, they just like sloppy edited it?
Yeah, to get rid of the watermarks, yep.
That sort of makes me sad, because... You know, when we started talking about Muppets Now, we had an expectation going in. We're going to get sketch comedy. They're going to come up with different things. There's all these different ideas.
Fuckers.
And then they show like the same Swedish chef and Miss Piggy lifestyle type sketches over and over again. And you know, I don't know. It didn't have the same legs that I thought it could have. And maybe in a different time they could have produced a different show, but they didn't. Did you check out Earth to Ned at all yet?
No, I didn't. I was going to watch that last night. And then
that's right. But then I told you to watch Raised by Wolves instead.
Exactly right.
I'm not gonna give glowing praise to, I think it's called Earth to Ned. But it is another Jim Henson show on Disney Plus. The premise is he is an alien who has been sent to Earth to destroy the planet, but he's sort of fallen in love with the planet. And so instead, he's hosting a late night talk show where he beams celebrities to his ship and talks to them about like the Earth and about being a celebrity. Very heavy Space Ghost Coast to Coast vibes on this. Only watched a couple episodes, but it's got promise, and some of the interviews are outstanding, and his little co-host that he has is he's got some good like man on the street type things that he does. It's I want to get your opinion. I want to know what you think about
All right.
Cuz it's interesting.
Okay, I will watch it, and we'll talk about it next week. Yeah. How about that?
All right. If you're listening to this, go check out Earth to Ned. I think that's the name of the show.
Yeah, more.
It's the one with the alien.
More space and, talk.
And then we'll talk about it on next week's episode. But before we get out of here this week, we got to talk about some video games. We got to talk about some nostalgia.
We have to.
We got to talk about Primus. Jerry was a race car driver.
Drove so goddamn fast. Never did take no checkered flag, but it never did come in last.
That's right. And that song came on while I was playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, the reboot today. And I was like, takes me back. Takes me back to the warehouse trying to get, you know, those pro skate scores or whatever. That's right. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, the reboot, the remaster, is there an actual name for it? Like
it's just Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, looks like.
Okay. All right. It's out. It's out for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, even though I didn't realize it was out for Xbox, and I bought it on my PC.
Did you get a refund?
I haven't done a refund yet. I don't know if I'm going to.
I think we'll like 1 to 3 days or something like that.
All right, we'll figure that out.
If it's anything like Steam, then you've got a couple days for a digital refund. And if you ever want to play multiplayer with me to see if you're better than me at skateboarding, then.
Maybe I'll just not get the refund, and I'll just keep that mystery alive. You got this much earlier in the week, and how's your experience revisiting the world of Tony Hawk Pro Skating?
When the game came out, and I remember that it came out, and going into this last episode of It's on Random, where I talk about Iron Maiden's The Trooper, I ended up talking about Tony Hawk Pro Skater, because even though I've always known who Iron Maiden is, I didn't really follow their music at all, and. You know, I knew Number of the Beast, but I don't think I actually knew the song. Run to the Hills, I didn't attribute to them. The Trooper, I didn't attribute to them. And Number of the Beast was on one of the Tony Hawk games that I played back in the day, right? And that was like my first introduction to like, that's Iron Maiden. 666 and Number of the Beast. Okay, all right, cool. I had a bunch of records, Iron Maiden records that my Uncle Christopher had in the house, and I always see the pictures and I'd be like, oh, what the scary shit. Anyways, I talk about all that stuff on It's Unrandom. But anyway, so I talked about that this weekend, going Friday, Saturday. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Tony Hawk Pro Skater just came out, 1 and 2, the remastered HD edition, whatever it's called. I'm gonna pick it up and I'm gonna start playing again. And I remembered a few things really quickly. I'm not nearly as good at the game as I used to be. I still get very, very heavily motion sick if I play it too long. And I also am not good at the game as much as I was anymore. But it brought back weird. Yeah, you think about memories, right? And you think about like, okay, yeah, I remember where I was here at this point in time. And oh, I remember I was talking to Jimmy John and in Basketville. I remember all these things. But playing the game and that weird motion sickness and playing it over and over again, it took me physically back. My body physically remembered a time in my early 20s when I was playing this game over and over again and being miserable and being like, oh my God, I might have to shit myself because this is tricking my body into thinking that I'm seasick, right? It takes me back. I love it.
Memories. I know you had you'd tweeted about the game talking about muscle memory. And it's funny how after playing for, I don't know, an hour or so, certain things that I used to do when I originally played the game, like I'm doing again. I think I'm defaulting to certain flip tricks or grab tricks when I'm in a vert ramp. And the muscle memory that came back the fastest was hitting pause down A so that I could restart the level, because
yeah,
I would be searching for that fifth magazine or looking for the bell so that I could wall ride the bell at the school level and running out of time and be like, all right, reset. Or just like trying to get a high score and like messing up the first trick and be like, all right, I'll do it again. Yeah. And resetting over and over and over again, because I used to do that a lot when I was playing the original game. And yeah, that came back almost no problem. I'm glad they kept the UI the same in the pause menu. Otherwise, I'd be ruined. But yeah, I don't know. The game looks good. It's not perfect. But it looks great compared to, you know, the original version of the game. And it doesn't seem to, I mean, they've added some detail. They've added some, a little bit more in the environments, but it still has that same feel.
Yeah.
That you remember these environments. It's almost like you remember them the way you want to see them as opposed to the way they actually were.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, this is the school level. And there was that there and you go off the ramp. Yeah. But if I went back and looked at a video of like the blocky, you know, what original Xbox or PlayStation, yeah, it would not look as good as it does in this game.
I told old Matt Sizemode, like, you're going to get Tony Hawk Pro Skater? He's like, yeah, sure. Is it multiplayer compatible with my Nintendo 64? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it is. It is that old. And yeah, it looks great on the Xbox, PS4, and the PC. If you compare it to those old, then it looks amazing. If you showed Brandon Cruz back then what it would look like today, he'd be like, how is that even possible? How did games get so lifelike?
This is magic. How do they do that? Is that actually Tony Hawk? Does he really get all staticky when he falls and then recreate himself?
Whoa! Is that his actual voice?
Yeah.
One of the really cool things, one we talk about couch co-op, There's not a whole lot of couch co-op games out there. I think they're making kind of a resurgence a little bit. But my son is 8 years old, and he's getting better at games now, and I can sit there with him and play Castle Crashers and the Scott Pilgrim game that's going to come out later this year, the Battletoads game that just came out. I could play those games with him and have a good time with it. In Tony Hawk 1 and 2, this new game that came out, you can do multiplayer games. You could do horse, where you have to they have to match a trick, and then you spell out horse. There's graffiti, where the high score you get on a certain, whether it's a ramp or a rail, you color it your color, and then whoever has the most graffitied items at the end, you win the round. There's a couple other games like standard high score or highest combo score, that type of stuff. But there's also Free Skate, which is legitimately all you're doing is picking a map, and with no time limit, no score limit, nothing. And you're just skateboarding around this map. And my son and I have spent so much time just skateboarding and like just hanging out with each other, just grinding rails, watching him fall, and you see each other as you're skateboarding around, like we're in a school, right?
Yeah.
And
classic map.
We were in the gym. We're doing like the half pipe in the gym, and at some point in time, the motion sickness got to me. I was like, okay, I need to take just a little bit of a break. I can't do it anymore. And I stopped skating, and I was playing as Rodney Mullen, and he just sat down on his board, and my kid was just still skating and grinding away, and it's like, oh yeah. This is exactly what I would do in real life if we were skateboarding. I would just take a break.
I'd find a shady spot, sit on my board, watch my friends have fun.
And I tell you, with no pressure to have to compete and just having fun and just grinding or manualing or doing some reverts, doing some half pipe tricks, it's a blast. I'm having a good time with it. If I just got some more Dramamine.
Yeah, just a little bit more. I gotta say, I mean, this game is not anything new. If you have played the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater games, you know what to expect here. They've added some more elements to the core game in terms of additional challenges. There are more sort of unlockables where if you do certain trick combinations or score certain points in certain areas, you can unlock more level. Like there's experience points in this, you can level up your character, which is cool. That's a good thing. And then obviously you can earn money, which then allows you to buy things in the skate shop, which is everything from different skateboards to apparel, things like that. And it's a way to customize your characters, and you can pick your different skaters and things like that. So
I
think it's good.
Have you created your own skater yet? You probably haven't had time to do that.
I have it. I have not.
My 8-year-old has his skater who started, and that's another thing. You level up your skaters as you go through. So even if you've the way the progression works is you start off with a level, you have all these different goals for it. And then you complete those goals, and then that you unlock other levels, right? And you don't have you don't have to unlock all the goals in order to unlock new levels. You only have to do a certain amount, but that's how you do it. And on each level, at least in the Tony Hawk, I think all the levels have this. There's stat points that you can get that you can gain by doing tricks or grabbing the little icon, and you can assign those stat points to your skater. To increase their air, their vert, their manual speed balance, their grind balance, their lip trick balance, their spin,
etc.
The ollie, all of that. So, kick flip, the flips, the switch style. All that stuff. Anyway, you can go through levels and collect those for all your skaters and level them up to make them better. My son has his skater. It doesn't really look like him. I have my skater that I bought some new boards. I customized him. He has really puffy hair like I have right now. He's got a, he's got a black face mask on. And my son was like, you know, if you can make that character much older, he would look exactly like you. I'm like, thanks, man.
Thanks, son.
Thanks. He's like, and if you could put glasses on him. Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll have to see if there's a bald, you know, pale dude with with basal cell carcinoma on his face. Yeah, we'll see if that's because that's a real thing, by the way, guys. I'll be fine. Good thoughts for me. But I'm going to get my a chunk of my head cut off. So, yeah, good game. I'll probably... jury's still out on whether or not I'll go through the hassle with the Epic Game Store to get a refund. But the idea of skating around with you, that could be a lot of fun. So yeah, if you have played a Tony Hawk game, if you're looking for a blast from the past and a little bit of nostalgia, definitely recommend picking it up. Yeah, and it's just fun. It's just fun. I was never much of a skateboarder. I was not a skater dude, but you know, because I had rollerblades and played hockey, so I was a nerd. But all of my memories of skating are pretty much tied to this game, and it's still a lot of fun.
It's fun. It's funny you talk about your memories being tied to this game and skating. I was a skater in junior high and maybe my freshman year of high school, and then I got out of the habit when I learned how to drive a car. And my skating experience, my skateboard game experience, was Skate or Die and Skate or Die 2.
Skate or Die.
Die, 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 die. Skate or... Those are my experiences. And when Tony Hawk came out, the first one, I was like, did the little jerk off motion, like, okay, big whoop, big whoopty doo.
Mr. 900 coming out with a video game, big whoop.
Yeah, I was at my phase in my teenage years where, like, yeah, okay, people like it. They must be fucking posers, that type of stuff. When I was in Mississippi for school, I picked up Tony Hawk 2 and I started playing it. Like, oh, that's actually really, really fun. And what I'll say about it is this: yes, it is. If you've played any of the games, you know how the mechanics are. But if you play it now, it will just go to show you just how good and how good the feel, the mechanics, the controls, all of that stuff are. The addicting nature of the game itself, it stands the test of time. I don't think I can emphasize that enough. Like, it, you might be like, oh, I played that when I was 16 or 20. I'm over it. But if you give it a shot and you see how good the graphics are, you see how good the controls are, it will take you back and it'll make you realize, you know what? No, some games are just that fucking good.
That's how Tony Hawk 1 it really does. It stands at all of the things that were fun about playing it as a kid are still fun. And, you know, even just you talk about that free skate aspect. If you're not, you know, trying to unlock things and open up levels, just the ability to go and, you know, grind and like see like how big of a combo you can stitch together. And I've already gotten back into the habit of like doing that long grind combo at the end of a round to see how much overtime I can yeah. I can stretch out and get those huge combos at the end. So much stuff. It was, I mean, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, hit us up. Let us know if you're playing.
I saw some dude get $13 million point combo today. I watched a video. I was like,
That's unreal.
I'm not gonna try that. I'm not gonna do that. I did do the multiplayer, which the multiplayer is with like five or six other people, random folks, mm-hmm. in all those different modes that I was talking about. And I thought I would go into it and be like, oh God, a bunch of people who are way too good for me. And it's true. They are way too good. They are way better than me, but it's still fun because, you know, everyone's grinding the same rail. Like you're like, it's oddly a community where you're like, yeah, you're at a skate park and you're hanging out with other people and everyone's, sure, you're kind of competing, but you're also all just having fun together, enjoying this love of skateboarding.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Okay. Anyways, I'm done. Check out the all game. Right. If you're on Xbox, hit me up. We can play sometime. If you're on the Epic Game Store, which nobody has,
if you're playing on PC, send me a tweet or something. All right, guys. I think that is going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for those of you that are watching live over on Twitch and YouTube. We are going to go do our post-show hangout for the live audience. If you want to be part of the post-show audience and hang out with us, make sure you are tuning in live Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah, I know football's back. All right. I know it's back, but so are we. We're back too. We have some plans for another special episode of Interdimensional RSS coming up very soon. So if you're a fan of Rick and Morty and our Rick and Morty podcast, make sure that you are signed up for that. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. If you are new to the show, let us know. You can rate the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. And we appreciate that you guys are here. Thank you for listening. Brandon, you have the final word.
Thank you for listening. Thank you always for everything that each and every one of you does. All the good vibes. Good vibes to Travis and the whatever is on his head, and
it's cancer. They're gonna cut it off my head. It's right here.
There it is. Good vibes. Everyone, thoughts to Travis. You'll be fine. Yeah, Travis.
Everybody think about me. It's gonna be fine, guys. I'm just gonna have. I don't grow hair there anyway, so it's not gonna be a problem.
You think
I'm already bald?
You guys think about me all the time. And which
think about me for once,
rightfully so, but it can't always be about me. You should think about Travis in his time of need. Okay,
all right, okay, we're out of here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Bye. Everybody.
Hopefully, I picked the right music. It did.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.